Rabbi, what book is
this? This is a very hard book to get. But I highly recommend it.
$40.
I think I got it, actually.
Do? Yeah?
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It looks familiar. That's why I asked.
Immortality, Resurrection, Age of the Universe. Does Amazon sell it? I bought it many years ago, and it has lots of stuff. We actually were supposed to speak about the resurrection, but we're going to speak about the age of the universe instead. I mean, not the age of this, the creation of heaven and earth. So I'm going to read you a little bit from here, from the Tiferes Yisrael. Remember, Bill mentioned the Tiferes Yisrael, who says that this is the fourth cycle of existence, that there were cycles before this. So his specific perspective here is, I'm going to read it slowly, because I don't have it on. Can you believe, my brothers, that this wonderful secret was clearly recorded in the first parasha of our Holy Torah, in which is contained all knowledge and which is the source of all life? Observe well that between the folds of the beginning of the Torah, where it states, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, if the heavens are one element, in other words, the fine gas called ether, as our sages may their memory be blessed, states, the word shamayim is an acronym for pesh, fire, and mayim, water. This teaches that the Holy One, blessed be He, took fire and water and mixed them together. Truly, the upper air is made up of warm vapor. Now, this is in the days when scientists still believed that there was this matter in space called ether. We no longer believe that that is the case, but there is some sort of, you know, substance of which space is, so to speak, made. The dark matter, there is some residual temperature, warmth there from the time of the Big Bang. Whatever it is, that is very strong in the sense to be the upper air. But the Rakia, which was made on day two, the firmament is made up of the lower air called atmosphere, made for breath, which extends 7 or 8 parasangs, which is, parasangs is about 3 or 4 miles, from the earth. At any rate, the fact that the Torah mentions the command of the Holy One, blessed be He, let there be an expanse, but does not record a rakia, but does not record a similar command for the creation of the heavens, is difficult. Why does God make a firmament, but not the heavens themselves? Right? He says, Yihi Rakia B'Sochamayim. This is day two, right? Day two, God says, let there be a firmament in the water, in the waters, right? And if you wish to suggest that the Rakia was created out of nothing, so there would have to have been nothing to which the command could have been issued. So what is God speaking when He says there should be a Rakia? He's saying, okay, there should be a separation, a distinction. How could there be a separation or a distinction if something did not yet exist? There must be something pre-existent to which God is now saying, okay, now split, now differentiate. We must still inquire as to why, but even if you would like to say that there was nothing, we must still inquire as to why the creation of the four elements of earth, air, fire, and water is not mentioned. It's an important point to make that throughout scientific history, until Islamic theory came into vogue, it was understood, as the ancient Greeks understood, that the world is divided into four types of matter, earth, air, fire, and water, and everything is a combination of these four elements. Nowadays, we of course have different theories, but nevertheless, we understand that, at least in a mystical sense, the earth, air, fire, and water represent the solid state, the liquid state, the gaseous state, and
plasma.
Yeah. Moreover, the second verse of Genesis, going back to the second verse, the earth was empty and desolate, is altogether superfluous. For who does not know that before the Holy One, blessed be He, fashioned all the creations of this world, light did not exist either, and it is therefore obvious that all was emptiness, desolation, and darkness. Again, it is written that the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the waters. And yet this verse has no clear meaning at all. Rashi explains that it refers to the glory throne, the Kisei HaKavod of God, hovering above the waters, a remark which itself requires explanation. However, it would seem that here our Holy Torah has revealed to us a little of the wonderful secret which we mentioned above, that this world is not in its first cycle, but that the four elements were actually created in the early cycles, and therefore are not mentioned in the accounts of the creation of the current cycle. That is why the Torah informs us in the beginning, this is the way he understands the first verse in the Torah, in the beginning, that is, at the beginning of all beginnings, God created the heavens, that is the ether which fills all three-dimensional space, and the earth, that is the globe of the earth. And after that, the Torah skips over the happenings which took place in that primeval world, which do not concern us at all in our current existence. Rather, the Torah tells us that the earth was empty and desolate, etc. In other words, at the beginning of this cycle, that earth was empty and desolate. That is, that emptiness and desolation were created anew. As it is stated in the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, the earth was empty and desolate of any human. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is a Targum, a translation of the Chumash into Aramaic. And we don't, and even though it's called Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, we actually don't know who wrote it. Because Yonasan ben Uziel is one of the great Tanoim, is known to have written a translation into Aramaic on the Pach, on the Vim and Ksuvim. Not Ksuvim, on the Vim. But he's not known to have written a translation on the Chumash. So although this translation is printed in many of the standard editions of Chumashim, you know, the Ovni Kroos Gedolos, and says Yonasan ben Uziel, the scholars call it pseudo-Jonathan, because we don't know if it was in fact written by Yonasan ben Uziel or somebody else. And even, regardless of who wrote it, it's of very ancient origin. It's regarded as a form of medrash. Yeah.
A question. So, according to the cycles and everything, so we're going by God years, right? Because we're saying that the 6 days, day one is before our cycle, right?
Right.
Day two is the beginning of our cycle, and then we have 5 more days before the beginning of man, and then we start counting years, like we count years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then he's saying that all previous cycles before our cycle will happen in one day. Right?
The Chumash skips their description, yes.
But he's saying that all those cycles happen in that one day. The rest of the 5 days are in our cycle.
Even the end of the first day is in our cycle.
Right. So, I mean, according to, Rabbi Yitzhak, that doesn't really play out well, because that's saying that the first day would only be, what, like a couple billion years or so?
Right. We don't know. It's not best for the Chumash.
No. The first day would be 24 hours times... would be one day.
No, the first day, according to... let's read further,
right.
Okay? Well, so it tells us the earth was empty and desolate, and again it says in the Targum Jonathan, Yonasan ben Uziel, the earth was empty and desolate of any human. The intent of the verse is not that it was made totally desolate and emptied of existence entirely, but rather that through the supernal will, may he be blessed, the earth received a blow as from a stormy wind accomplishing his word, and the primeval order of creation became a confused mixture of fire and water, and darkness came into existence above the deep. Again, the verse states that the spirits of God hovered upon the surface of the water. This refers to the spirit which... I don't have to. I told you. I checked before I came. This refers to the spirit which gives life. Oh no, you left something down. I don't think it's enough for you to get anything.
So you
want
to get something?
Yeah.
Take out like a whole wallet.
No, I have. Here's 35 cents.
Take out your whole wallet.
My whole wallet only has a $5 bill. Remember last time we lost the $5 bill in the machine? We don't want to try that again. These are pennies.
That equals a dollar?
No, it equals 37 cents.
How do I equal a dollar?
You don't need a dollar. Go see the mother. Maybe it's on the machine for 35 cents. No? Nothing?
I want a dollar.
45 cents? I don't have a dollar.
Here.
This man will give you a dollar.
I should offer for the day.
Well, I'll pay you back.
No.
Hey, thank you very much. Okay, so again he says that the Spirit of God which hovered on the surface of the water, this refers to the Spirit which gives life to all living things, which is mentioned in Ezekiel 37. As Scripture states, this is by the dry bones, come from the four winds, O Spirit, and blow into these flames. It is the same Spirit which is mentioned in this connection after the flood had passed. It's an interesting connection. But it says, after the flood, in Parshas Noah, the Lord caused the wind to pass over the earth and the water subsided. And it is this Spirit which is meant to connect to the creation of Adam, as it is stated, he breathes into his nostrils the Spirit of life. This is the Spirit which is mentioned here too. In other words, that the Spirit of life began to hover and weave itself on the surface of the waters which covered the earth. That is what our sages, may their memory be blessed, meant by the glory throne, viz., the Spirit which gives life to all living things. It is that which is called the glory throne, for through it one sees the glory of the King of Kings. The Holy One, blessed is he, who is the animating force of nature, for nature is his heavenly throne, may he be blessed, which he began to hover over the surface of the waters, as the dove hovers over her nest, in other words, to bring out its chicks. The Torah now begins to recount the order of the current cycle of creation, in which each day was a preparation for the next, as explained above, as each primitive earthly cycle was a preparation for the next cycle which followed it. So to each cycle, the work of each day was a preparation for the day following. The explanation of these matters is lengthy, and we must now be concise without digressing from our main subject. Nevertheless, my dear brothers, observe the greatness and wondrous loftiness of the Torah. Note the large letter Beis with which the Torah opens, and scrutinize the four crowns, so like little marks going out
daggers.
The tagging. What?
Daggers.
Yeah.
Protect us from evil spirits.
Right. Here he understands it. The four crowns on that base of the days of the Kabbalists have a tradition that these four crowns hint that the creation of the world and all its hosts, as described therein, is the fourth in order, and that the letter Beis, which in Gematria is equivalent to number two, informs us that the crowning glory of creation, the human intellect, is here for the second time. And so according to this understanding, the first verse in Torah, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, it's talking about way back when. And then we say...
Way back when, like he created the whole universe.
Right.
So Bereshit is, boom, the Big Bang.
Right.
Okay.
In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Now, skip several billion years, and the earth was empty and desolate as a result of the cataclysmic event which ended the last cycle. And there was now a new spirit of life which God brought about in order to rejuvenate the earth. That's how we learn.
You're saying that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Ha'aretz doesn't mean physical matter, it means the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. And Earth was created at the start of creation.
Or sometime along there, long then. We don't know.
The universe wasn't big enough for an Earth at the very start.
Right, we don't know exactly how it doesn't tell
Why
us.
Why can't it just mean
it doesn't tell
matter?
Us how it created.
When the Earth was made out of means physical matter. Ha'aretz.
It could mean physical matter. But the main point is which he's trying to make is that you see from the continuity of the verse, the continuation of the verse, that by the time we reach this cycle, we have an Earth, an actual planet Earth,
mm-hmm.
which is covered with water and all that. Okay? So that's how he learns the first verse. Personally, I would prefer to learn the first verse as Rashi does. Rashi learns the first verse, it doesn't make a statement, in the beginning God created heavens and earth. But rather, it means in the beginning of God creating heavens and earth, in other words, of this cycle, we find the earth to be void and formless and darkness on the face of the deep. I think the article brings that down. That's really how you read the
question. In the
beginning
of God created.
In the Krishnasib statement, it says, in Archbishop Humish, it says, Rashi's commentary, and Bereshit is the beginning of the constructive state. So it doesn't mean the beginning of everything, it's
right.
The beginning of...
Right.
But that's not even a super little transition. Wouldn't it be in the beginning of God created? Like, because Bereshit is the beginning of, right?
Yeah.
And then bara would be created.
No, no. So the way Rashi learns the word bara, he learns it as if it's equivalent to the word bro. And there's the beginning of God creating.
Right, but it says bara.
But that, so he says, grammatically, he says it's the same thing.
I'm saying, but like from the Chumash itself, literally means.
No, no. He also, that's the translation, word bara.
Oh.
Bara is a plural. Correct. Oh. Bara means when it has two commas. I think even commas on the two commas structure. Mm-hmm. It has two commas, it's two o's. It means the beginning of God's creating heaven and earth, meaning the act of creation. So that means that
of this cycle,
right? So the way Rashi is understanding it, it means that this is the beginning. We have no description of what came before. Our entire description here begins with
the fourth cycle,
or whatever cycle you are we're in, depending on whose opinion you follow.
But according to this, so then you're saying all the 6 days are describing what happened in the beginning of this cycle, but it's saying that the sun and the moon were not here at the beginning of this cycle.
That's correct.
So I don't understand how the Pharisee Israel can hold that, because he says that dinosaurs are proof that there was other cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Dinosaurs can't exist without a sun.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the sun wasn't created until the beginning of this cycle, on the third day.
Oh no, we discussed this last time.
Right. He said it was the asteroid and it blocked out the sun and the moon.
Yeah, it doesn't say that.
Oh, it doesn't say that. Right.
It doesn't say
that the moon was blocked out.
Right.
And then the moon too?
What?
The moon also?
Yes. Whatever happened cataclysmically
right.
in the between two cycles destroyed the Earth's atmosphere.
Right.
That's what the Pharisee Israel said. I don't know exactly what happened to the atmosphere. I don't know how that happened. I'm not familiar with scientifically how something like that could occur. But obviously some major disruption occurred in which the atmosphere itself was disturbed, and therefore I assume the perspective on the sun and the moon was out of kilter. For that matter, maybe when the comet hit Earth or whatever, so then the Earth was temporarily knocked out of its orbit. Because,
why?
What?
Well, the atmosphere can go away.
It'll not go away. You'd have to say it's clouded over.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly how that happened. So according to this understanding, again, day one is the creation of light and darkness, right? Yihi Or means that at the end of the previous cycle, everything became dark. And then
he doesn't go into this whole light reserve with Ezekiel and all this. That's not his idea.
Whose idea?
Yeah.
No, it can't be that. Of course, there's a light reserve to the tzaddikim. That's not a contradiction. The light reserve to the tzaddikim, though, is part and parcel of the concept of the light which existed prior to the sun. But it has to be also a real light, because otherwise you can't get to Tuesday and see vegetation growing. You can't say it's just a spiritual light, right?
But if we're going to say that the sun was blocked out, how do you have things growing before the sun? Like this.
Okay, so there's two answers. One answer, as again I just said, is just all you need is light. And the light there was. The sun was blocked out, but there's still capacity to have light. That's why it's light and darkness, light and darkness. The other possibility, which is Rashi brings out being in the second chapter, namely being in the second chapter of the Torah, Rashi says that it's fascinating. Rashi says everything which was described as being created in the first chapter of Bereishis did not exist until the sixth day. How so?
Wait, what?
I suffer from this malady myself. One can learn Chumash for many years and not really have a clue what Chumash actually says. But,
could it be that Hashem had the idea of it?
I'll tell you how we do that.
I spoke glasses over this, Rashi. This.
They left out all the secrets. You know why? It's
because
everybody
can
buy it. They don't
want to do it. It says, they want to sell it out for lashes. So it says in the second chapter of Bereishis, in the fifth verse, it says, now all the trees of the field were not yet on earth, and all the herb of the field had not yet sprouted. For Hashem, God, had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to work the soil. So Rashi's question is, wait a minute, what about the whole first chapter of Bereishis, where it says that everything was, there was already stuff growing, there's all sorts of vegetation, right? So Rashi here says, a very interesting thing, Rashi says, and this obviously would resolve the question of the sun and the moon from a different perspective, all the grass of the earth, of the field, a dying road some up. It didn't yet grow. Ah, Yubashlishi, on the third day, Shakosu, where it said, Batotseya Oret, the land produced, Lo Yosu. They didn't come out. Ella, rather, a Pesach Karka Omdu, they stood at the opening of the ground, Ad Yom Shishi, until the sixth day. There's a quote from the Gemara. What? In other words, that during the sixth day, the potential, I'm not sure if I mean like a seed, but it sounds like you're talking like you have a seed in the dirt, and it has to wait until the potato come out. I wouldn't say, you said before the idea, I don't think that's what Rashi's saying, but I think the seed or the germ
of the all this vegetation was created, but there was since there was no rain, so therefore none of it grew until Adam came and prayed for it to rain.
So according to this view, we're saying that this is obviously directly against evolution, because it's saying that the Bereishis day two was talking about our cycle, that everything was wiped out on the earth, and then in a period of 5 24-hour periods, Adam and Rishon was there.
We don't know the 5 24-hour periods, though.
But we do. 24 hours.
What?
But each day is 24 hours.
No, there are opinions.
Right.
There are opinions that those were longer, there were longer days.
So if they're not 24-hour days, then you would say that the start of the cycle is on day two, and then the first part is...
Why not day one?
Because you said the first part of day one is before us.
Yeah, but by the end of the day
right,
one...
Right, by the end of day one.
Yeah.
And then so from that time on, all of the brain is like in potential, so to speak, plants and everything. Then the clouds dissipate, the sun shines, the rain comes, and then there's vegetation. There's no vegetation. Adam Rishon, a grown man, and there's still no vegetation. So it definitely goes against evolution, because if there were people around, but the 974 generations before Adam and Rishon, they couldn't eat anything if there was no plant.
No, it was all swept away.
What?
Between cycles.
Right, but if you're going to say at the end of the last cycle, the beginning of this one, there's a whole bunch of time, because they're not 24-hour periods, and you're going to say that, let's say, the human being evolved in that time, you can't have that, and you can't have animals alive if there's no plantation for more than a day.
That's correct. There would have to be a complete interruption.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely. Right. You'd have to, you couldn't take evolution at face value, because there is a complete interruption between the previous cycle and this cycle. Even to the extent according to Rashi that nothing grew until Friday.
So nothing could be alive more than a month.
What?
You have to say that the 5 days can be no longer than a month, because otherwise nothing will survive. Without vegetation, nothing survives after they starve to death.
I mean, none of the animals in
there. None of the animals, or the people.
Right.
People can't eat the animals if the animals die. So
yeah, but it could have been the 974 generations could have taken place, and as according to fairy tale, they did take place in previous worlds, not in the previous cycles, not in this cycle.
Okay, yeah, but even so, we still have to say the 5 days all took place in less than a month.
Yeah, okay. That's
and
not
water. Because otherwise everything would starve to death. There's no vegetation.
Everything, besides that, the vegetation itself would shrivel and die. I mean, there has to be some, everything is on the verge of coming to fruition. Right?
Right.
So the interesting thing about this Rashi, which again is taken from Gemara and Chulin, is that the whole 6 days has to be viewed other from a completely different perspective if you take it that way. And the question about the sun and the moon fall apart, because the sun and the moon might well have been created on day four, right? And the vegetation might well have been created on day three, but the vegetation created on day three indeed was not capable of growing until Friday. And even though the sun and the moon were created or hung or whatever you say on Wednesday, since it requires water and it requires rain in order for things to go, till man came, there was no rain and therefore nothing grew. So that's how he interprets the 6 days of creation, that they're all germs are being put down. I don't know about the animals. It could be the animals are in fact created on Wednesday, on Thursday, and they just have to wait to get the vegetation to eat until Friday. But it could also be, according to this Rashi, that even the animals, they were all created only in potential on Wednesday and Thursday, and then on Friday, everything came into being immediately at once, in one fell swoop.
In terms of there being no vegetation on Friday, does it say no vegetation mean nothing, no plants at all, or no human edible vegetation like wheat and crops?
It says kol siecha, so they're all bushes of the field.
Right. So
it's not clear how.
You could say that there were plants that animals could eat up to that time.
Because
it's just that there's no. Wheat, no, human edible plant.
You could, right? It could be.
Bushels of the field sounds to me like fields. Fields are like grain.
Mm-hmm. Could be. Okay, so, yeah.
Let me ask you a